I would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, the Word of God, beginning in verse 17 and reading through verse 23. The Word of God is primarily talking about people following Jesus Christ. And that's the thought that's on my heart this morning from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Beginning in verse 17, and though the passage that's primarily on my heart is about following Jesus Christ, I want you to notice that the first verse that I read and the last verse that I read are talking about something besides, or really, it's talking about the result of us following Jesus. So I'm not going to be concentrating on that, but I want you to notice that. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, the Word of God says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people." If correctly read, that's Matthew chapter 4, verses 17 through 23. We'd like to ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come into Thy house. We thank you, Lord, that we understand this is not our house or our church, but this is Thy house and it's Thy church. Thou hast bought this church. Thou hast redeemed it. Thou hast purchased it with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be a part of Thy church and to be a part of Thy kingdom in the earth. We pray that you would help us as we have assembled together this day, that we might sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We ask Thee to speak to us from Thy holy word, and Thou would teach us and instruct us and bless us, that we would be doers of Thy word and not hearers only. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have of following Jesus Christ. We ask You to help us all to follow Thee every day. We do beg You, Lord, to bless all those that are sick and afflicted and those who have special burdens and problems. Be with them. Help them and help us to be a blessing in their lives. Guide and direct us, Lord, and help us to use our time wisely. And bless us, Lord, to, as we face this coming week, we pray that you would give us the strength and grace and wisdom that we need every day. Bless those who are with child. Bless the babies as they develop in their mother's wombs. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, the main verse that's on my heart this morning, is where Jesus says in verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I want us to think about three things. First of all, I want us to think about following Christ. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? I want us to think about what are the ways that we follow Christ. How can we follow Jesus Christ? Secondly, I want us to think about what are some of the blessings that come to God's people when they do follow Jesus Christ. And then the third thing is the second statement in this verse when he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I believe that everybody who is following Christ, if we're really following Jesus Christ, then Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. That's not talking about gathering up a lot of people and getting them into heaven when they die. This whole passage is talking about the kingdom of heaven But I do believe that if I'm following Christ and you are following Christ, I believe that while we are following Christ, that God will make us fishers of men. That is, we will be able to convert other people and lead other people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to always remember that the only people that we have ever led to Christ are people who have already been born of the Spirit of God. Do you remember how Philip, while he was preaching to the eunuch, and he asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I except some man what? Show me or guide me." You have to guide God's people. God's people need other people to follow. Now, what does this say? Jesus says, follow who?
Me.
Follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. Does he say, follow your parents? Does he say, follow the preacher? Does he say, follow teachers? He doesn't say that. Not in this verse. He says, follow me. Now, I want to also tell you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Does it help you? I know it does me. It helps me to see men and women who are following Christ, and then I can follow those men while they're following Christ. I believe it's a great blessing to see people that are following Christ. They set an example for us, and that's one of the ways that we become fishers of men, is that as we're following Christ, other people begin to follow us while we're following Christ. So it is not wrong to follow people. It is wrong to follow people if those people are not following Jesus Christ. So Jesus says here, follow me. And I want you to always remember that He is the one that we are to follow, is Jesus Christ. Follow me. Follow Christ. Now, when you think about following Christ, there are a lot of different directions you can go in right here, but there are two or three particular things that I want us to think about Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want us to think about is when Jesus was only 12 years old. Do you remember a statement that Jesus made to His parents when they came back and they found Him after they had lost Him, and they found Him? Jesus made a statement. He said, I'm going to read it to you. It's from Luke chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to take this statement. Jesus says, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, what does He say there? Jesus was saying, I have a work to do. And my work is to be about my Father's business. Now, I think all of us have business to do, don't we? Most of us have a lot of business to do. Most of us have many different things going on in our lives. But my question to you this morning is, are we busy about our Father's business? That's what Jesus was busy about. He was not busy about His own business. He was busy about His Father's business. He was doing the work that His Father had sent Him to do. And we need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be busy doing what God would have us to do. Let me ask you this question. At work, can you be busy about your Father's business while you're at work? When you're at work, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing about following Jesus Christ, you'll be busy about your Father's business even while you're at work. When you go and play and you exercise and you do other things for recreation, while you're out there doing those recreation things, can you still be following Christ and can you still be busy about your Father's business while you're out there doing those things of recreation and fun? You should still be following Christ and be busy about your Father's business. I mentioned to the Bible study class early this morning that I heard about a grandmother that everything she did, she incorporated Christ and the teachings of the Word of God and songs of praise. She incorporated everything around Jesus Christ. She would be bathing her children, her grandchildren. And as she would be bathing them, she would be saying scriptures like, Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Would she be teaching them the Word of God? Now, doesn't washing your children seem like just a menial task? Did you know many mothers just wash their children, or after they get older, they say, go take a bath, but they don't incorporate being busy about their father's business while they're doing those menial tasks. When you're vacuuming, are there scriptures you can be thinking about while you're doing that? When you're washing dishes, when you're washing your car, when you're cleaning up the yard, when you're looking at the trees, when you're planting flowers, when you're picking flowers, are there scriptures that you can think about, and can you be busy about your Father's business no matter what you're doing? Are the scriptures that ought to flood your soul in every aspect of your life, everything you're doing? If you're busy about your Father's business and you know the Word of God, you'll be able to incorporate everything that you're doing can be still being busy about your Father's business. If what you're doing is at all acceptable to God. Let me back up and say that, because there are some things that are just not acceptable to God. But there are a lot of things that are not actually coming to God's house, but are still being busy about our Father's business. That's the first way I want you to think about following Jesus, is if I'm following Jesus, I'm going to be a busy person. And I'm not going to be busy with my business, I'm going to be busy about my Father's business. That's the first way that I want you to think about following Jesus. And ask this question, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Do you sometimes follow Jesus? Let me back up and ask you that question. How many of you sometimes follow Jesus? Okay, sometimes we follow Jesus. Now, I want you to all remember the trouble that the Apostle Peter got in when the Word of God says that Peter followed Jesus. You remember the last two words of that verse of Scripture? Peter followed Jesus afar off. Now, was he still following Jesus? But he was way off in the distance. And I want you to know that that's when Peter began to deny Christ, when he followed him afar off. So many times we don't want to get too close to Jesus. We don't want to get too much religion. We want just enough religion to try to pretend we're following Christ. But I'll tell you, brethren, if you're really going to follow Christ, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him, and you have to get close to Him, and you have to stay close to Him. Not one day a week, but 7 days a week. Not just at church, not just when you're around godly people, but no matter who you're around, you ought to be walking close to Jesus. Will it give you strength and courage when you're walking with Jesus? One of the songs we like to sing is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, And part of that song says, and He walks with me and talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And brethren, the only people that He does that to are the people that are walking close to Him. The only people that get that special strength and courage and lifting up by the Spirit of God and by Jesus Christ, the only people that are really friends of Jesus are not those that are walking and following afar off, but it's those only that are following close to Jesus. So I would encourage you this morning, if you're not busy about your Father's business, if you're too busy in the other businesses of this world, I encourage you to incorporate and get busy about your Father's business. Follow Jesus by being busy in your Father's business. A second way I want you to think about following Jesus is when Jesus made this statement in John 6 and verse 38. He says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Now, brethren, Jesus makes this statement. He says, even as my Father sent me into the world, I send you into the world. Did you know you're sent by Jesus? If you're a child of God, you're being sent into the world. And when you're being sent into the world by Jesus, you're following Jesus. And when you go out there to follow Jesus, you need to always say and feel like Jesus said when He says, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Part of the prayer that we sometimes pray when we pray the example prayer is, "Thy will be done." Did you know we prayed that this morning? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. That's what Jesus said He came to do, was not His own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Is there a difference sometimes in your will and the Father's will? Is there a difference in what you want to do and what God would have you to do? And if you're going to follow Jesus, I want you to think about this. Every aspect in the life of Jesus, everything that Jesus ever did, it was in harmony with the will of the Father. He never did anything except what was His Father's will. And we need to be praying, first of all, let me say this. You need to be studying God's Word so you know this is the revealed will of God. Does everybody understand that? If you want to know the Father's will, you need to read the Word of God, because this is the Father's will. I had somebody tell me one time, "I'm going to pray about whether or not to go to church. I'm going to seek God's will about that." Now, let me tell you something, brethren. God's already written it down. You're supposed to go to church. If you care what the will of the Father is, you'll be in the house of God. If you're going to follow Jesus, you'll be in the house of God. You don't have to pray about that. He's already told you in His Word. In fact, if you just pray about it, the devil will tell you, "No, you don't have to go." Did you know that? Have you ever prayed and the devil talked to you? The devil will talk to you. The Word of God tells us that the devil deceives many of God's children. The Word of God says, "Try the spirits whether they be of God." How do you try the spirits? You compare what leadership you feel to the Word of God. I need to know what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I'm to be in God's house. I'm to go to church. I'm not to forsake the assembling of myself in God's house. Is that following Jesus? When you go to church, is that following Jesus? That's part of following Jesus. Doing the will of the Father when you go to church. Let me ask you this. What about tithing? And I don't mention this often. I doubt there's two times a year that I mention tithing. Isn't that true? I mean, I hardly ever mention it. But I tell you, it's a sin for me to never mention it. I know some preachers, that's all they care about is money, money, money. Brethren, I'm fine. It's not about me. It's not about giving me money. It's about bringing what God says that you're to bring into the house of God. I just want to pause here. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Malachi. Back up to the book of Matthew. Back up about three pages before the book of Matthew. And look at Malachi chapter 3. We're talking about following Jesus Christ. And while we're talking about following Jesus, we're talking about what Jesus says when He said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." What is God's will about you bringing money into the storehouse? What is God's will about whether or not you should give of your money in the house of the Lord? What's God's will in that matter? Well, let's see what God's Word says. Look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Listen, starting in verse 8, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. The question is asked, "Will a man rob God?" Now, can you go up with a gun and rob God? You can't rob God like that. That's not what he's talking about. But he is talking about a man robbing God. He says, "Will a man rob God? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" What are they asking God whenever he says, "Will a man rob God? How have we robbed you? Wherein have we robbed thee?" And here's God's answer: in tithes and offerings. Did you know that if you don't give your tithes and offerings, bring it into the storehouse, you're robbing God? If you miss a Sunday because you're deathly ill, and that's the only time you're supposed to miss being in the house of God, but if you're so sick you can't do anything else and you can't be in God's house, that doesn't mean you skip that week on tithing. You owe God at least 10%. You owe God a lot more than that. You owe Him everything. But 10% of your income is to be brought into the storehouse. That's your tithes. And what are offerings? Offerings are above your tithes. And what does God say that they had robbed Him in? They had robbed Him in tithes and offerings. Listen to verse 9. Verse 9 says, you're cursed with a curse. Let me just pause right here and tell you this. There are a lot of God's children that tell me, I can't afford to tithe. Listen, brethren, if you try to rob God by holding out the tithes and offerings, you'll find out that God will bring His judgments on your life. I tithed when I was a child. I was brought up to tithe. Whatever I got was tithed. Whatever money I made. I started cutting grass when I was in the sixth grade, and I made a good bit of money that first year. But made enough to buy a horse. But did you know I had to tithe every penny, every dollar, every bit of money I made, I had to tithe. Well, I got to be about 21 years old, and I got too smart to tithe. Did you know that? We got married. Teresa and I got married, and I didn't want to tithe. And Teresa says, we better tithe. And I said, well, I don't want to tithe. We don't have enough money this week. God took me to the woodshed for that. We had more trouble. We lost more money. We had to spend more money when we didn't tithe than if we had tithed 50% of what I was making. Don't you ever think you don't have enough money to tithe. You better cut off something else. Don't cut off your tithes and offerings. Amen. So he says in verse 9, he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now listen to what he says in verse 10. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Will God bless us when we do what God tells us to do? Yes, He will. And will God curse us when we withhold from Him? You want to be a follower of Jesus? You want to be a follower of Jesus, then you have to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? What we're talking about is some of the things that are the will of the Father. One is to go to church. One is to bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Hold them back. Watch the cursing come. Give your tithes and offerings and give out of a heart of love and gratitude for God. Give because you're thankful for what God has given you. Give willingly. Don't give grudgingly, but give because you're thankful that God has given you something and you return that to the Lord. And God will bless your life for it. There are a lot of other things we could look at right there, but I want to go to a third aspect of following Jesus. The first thing I mentioned is we're to follow Jesus by being busy about our Father's business. The second thing that I've tried to mention is we're to be following Jesus by doing the will of the Father. The third thing I want to mention this morning, in fact, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I want to read this one verse and then I'm going to the third area. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. I want to mention a blessing. I mentioned that we're going to talk some about the blessings that come when we follow Jesus. Here's one of those blessings. How many of you have ever felt close to Jesus? I watched when we were singing the songs in church, worshiping God by lifting up our voices. I looked out over the congregation. I saw some that were in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and I know Jesus was right there with them, holding them up. You ever been there? Jesus right there just wrapping His arms around you, lifting you up and blessing you abundantly. I saw others that were kind of neutral. And I saw some that were as far from being close to Jesus as anybody can get just about. Now, I'm not saying they're children of the devil, but I'm saying as children of God, they're far away from God. Here's a great blessing that comes from following Jesus. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. Matthew chapter 12, look please at verse 50. Jesus says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father. Now, you notice, he gives the glory to the Father. He says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, what does he mean there when he says, If you do the will of my Father, you're my brother and my sister and my mother. What do you think he's saying there? What's the meaning there? He means you're intimately close to me. I'm going to manifest myself to you in a very special way. You're my brother and you're my sister and you're my mother, and I love you, and I will show my love for you just like I show my love for my brother and my sister and my mother. Who will Jesus do that to? Those who do the will of their Father. His family. Well, not all of his family. Let me back up. Because not all of his family do the will of the Father. The only ones in his family that he will manifest himself to abundantly are the children of God who are doing the will of the Father. All right, now then, go with me to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to go to the third thing that is on my heart about following Jesus. You know what happens typically when we start doing the will of the Father and being busy about our Father's business? You know what usually happens when you just think about it. How many of you have ever really been busy about your Father's business? How many of you have ever done that? Been busy about your Father's business, just doing all kinds of, just serving the Lord in all kinds of ways, just really going around doing a lot of good things. And what happens usually when you do that, when you're busy about your Father's business and you're doing the will of the Father and you're doing the things God would have you to do, then how does the devil get you? If he can't keep you from doing all those things, he'll get you another way. Guess what he'll do? Look how good you are. Look at what you're doing. And you get lifted up in vain pride. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been busy about your Father's business? Have you ever been doing the will of the Father? And before you realized it, you began to be proud of how close you're walking to Jesus. Well, when you get proud of how close you're walking to Jesus, you just got put to the end of the line. Every time that you think you're close to Jesus, every time you get lifted up because you are walking in the way God would have you to walk, you just lost that intimate fellowship with God. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm going to just mention verse 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, of course, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What did he do? He humbled himself. He became a servant. Humbled himself. Do you remember the apostles? Let me ask you this question. In Matthew 18, were the apostles busy about their Father's business? In Matthew 18, were the apostles busy about their Father's business? Were they doing the will of the Father in many ways? Were they preaching and teaching and doing all those things? And then they said, "Jesus, which one of us is the greatest?" What happened? Were they following Jesus as soon as that thought got in their head and as soon as those words came out of their mouth? They were far away. So many times. And listen, brethren, it'll happen to you. You may not think it'll ever happen to you. It'll happen to every one of you. I don't think there's ever been anybody that started following Christ and that started being busy about their Father's business and that started doing the will of the Father and got committed and dedicated. I don't think there's ever been anybody that then didn't get lifted up in vain pride. I think the first go round, that's just the way it always happens. In fact, it happens with me over and over and over again. So many times when I'm out visiting, I think, and sometimes I'll do like this. You know what Peter said when Jesus said, "Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs." He kept telling Peter what to do. You know what Peter said? Let's suppose I'm Peter and Brooks is John. You know what Peter finally said? What did he finally say? "Lord, what's he going to do? You're telling me all this stuff to do." Any of you that have more than one child, you start telling one of those children, "I want you to do this. I want you to do this, and I want you to do this." What's the other child going to say? "Well, what's she going to do? What's he going to do?" You know what happens when the children of God get busy in their service to God? They begin to get lifted up in pride and think, "I'm doing all the work." In fact, did you know I've known of this happening, that a church would call for a work day at the church and the people would get there and only one person would show up. And guess what they would do? They left. Why do they leave?
I'm not going to do all the work.
They're not going to come. I'm not going to get out here and do all the work. If they don't care, I don't care. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you're following Jesus, it doesn't matter if the rest of the world doesn't show up. You're still going to follow Jesus. If you're following Jesus and you're doing it for the right purpose, if you're not doing it to be seen of men, if you're doing it because you love Jesus, when Jesus will bless you, he'll say, now here's my brother, here's my sister, here's my mama. What was the first verse and the last verse that we read about this morning? Matthew 4:17, Matthew 4:23. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent for the what? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all those different areas preaching the gospel of what? Of the kingdom. If you want to be in the kingdom of heaven, you know what you have to do? You have to follow Jesus. Tonight in the baptismal service, you know what Brother Brooks is going to be doing? He's going to be following Jesus. Do you know the only reason he can follow Jesus in water baptism is because he's already been following Jesus in other ways in his life? Does everybody understand that? You can't come and join this church and follow Jesus in water baptism without first bringing forth fruit. You have to be following Jesus in other ways. And then you can follow Jesus in water baptism. May God help us and bless us to realize how important it is that we follow Jesus in every way in our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.